May the Lord help us to commence our week evening service by singing hymn number 376 to tune message 481. Hymn number 376. Lord, I cannot let thee go till a blessing thou bestow. Do not turn away thy face. Mine's an urgent pressing case. Hymn number 376, the team message 481.
Thank you. May the Lord be pleased to help us to read together from his holy word in the second epistle to the Corinthians and reading chapter 5. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians and the 5th chapter. Chapter 5 of the 2nd of the Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May God's own blessing rest upon the reading of his holy word, and may help us and teach us to pray. O thou most gracious and most merciful Lord God Almighty, we do pray that help to bow before thee and to call upon thy great and holy name. We come to thee, Lord Jesus, who art in heaven above, to mediate for thy people, pleading the glories of thy righteousness, the precious atoning blood that thou hast shed, and thine all-prevailing name. I know we do pray it may be thee who is seen there instead of us, as we now would draw near to thee at the throne of thy grace. We do beg of thee for that spirit of thy grace and of supplications to be blessed to us in our souls, poured upon us from on high, that there might be an opening of our eyes and beholding thee whom we have pierced, that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance might be revealed again and again in our hearts, brought in true humility and godly fear before thee, the almighty living God, that when his judgment seat we must yet stand before in that great day thou hast appointed, to receive those things done in the body, be they good or be they bad. And O Lord, thou knowest the trembling of our hearts, the expression used in thy word that we have read the terror of the Lord, that we so dost know and see us in, and all that we deserve yet to receive from thee. But O, as we have known those sparing mercies to this present moment, may we ever know them, and may we be humbled because of them, most gracious Lord, and brought thus to thy feet, we pray thee. Praying, O Lord, there was creating us a clean heart and renew a right spirit, and bring us with humbled hearts and contrite spirits, we pray, godly sorrow that leadeth not to repentance, leadeth not to be repented of. O Lord, we turn and are turned unto thee. Keep us ever looking unto thee, most gracious Lord, to pour out our souls before thee, and to seek thy great mercy to be revealed to us. That we have read of those wondrous truths of the ministry of reconciliation, may the gospel of thy grace be that reconciling truth to our souls, for us each this evening, for the time is short, and eternity hastens on for us each. Meeting once more reminds us how quickly time moves on, and all that appointment is drawing near for us each to keep and to appear before thee, the only true God. Oh, do appear for us in it all, we pray thee. Make known that thou hast dealt with that great solemnity of our sins, punishment. Oh, thou knowest all, Lord Jesus, that thou hast done for trembling, needy souls. And that we may come to plead on in the petitions lifted up in the hymn. We will not let thee go except thou bless us with that gracious assurance, that knowledge of sin forgiven, that we are those accepted in thee, the beloved. That is that acceptance in thee that thou hast graciously fulfilled and appointed for us. And in the love of the Father is that blessing appointed through the glories of thee, Lord Jesus, the Son. That thine own Holy Spirit of truth might be enlivening us in the need of these things and revealing the great blessing of them that is in thee, that great fullness alone that thou dost reveal and pour out from. May there be a receiving of it, each of us this evening, out of that fullness. We've received much of thy fullness in providential things in our lives, and the measure of the possessions that we are given to, Lord, live with and have the use of in this time state, and they must yet come to an end and bear out their day and be no more. Lord, we come to seek those unseen things which are eternal, and out of that fullness of grace and love and mercy might we be those partaking thy blessing. O Lord, ever thankful for the providential blessings, but ever hungering and thirsting after the spiritual, that which is of thee, Lord Jesus, we pray thee. Oh, could it please thee to open our eyes once more to behold these wondrous things out of thy law, that thy word be that living word to us as we gather around it. And our Lord, do shine forth in the gospel ministry here, we do beseech of thee, making known thy blessing in those truths proclaimed, that thine own word may have free course and be glorified. The word preached, the word read may flow together, we pray thee, and be that blessing from the Lord. Help the deacons in their labours here, and strengthen and uphold them. Our friend and brother in the ministry, to be a strength for him and his labours. Here and elsewhere, we pray thee, in that safe convoy of thy love in his many journeys. The blessing of the gathering of the people here, the families and the little ones, and all their needs that arise. And, O Lord, each case and each need, we pray thee. Guide the hearts of the younger friends as they grow older and have those pathways in front of them to turn to, if it is thy will. Do make thy provision in it in due time, and thy good hand to watch over them. Be that strength for each to bear the cares and burdens in their pathways, the many difficulties and trials that arise. Do stand above them all for them, we pray thee, with thy gracious help and the blessing. And when in older years, do give her help in the path of great afflictions, and in hospital at this time, do give thy strength and restore again, we do beseech of thee. Oh, do shine through it all to bring thy blessing. And so in each of our pathways, may there be thy hand that is sanctifying and bringing us to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, Lord Jesus. Those unseen things which are eternal, those vital everlasting things of thyself, Lord Jesus. How soon our lives hasten away, in time things are but short. Oh, in mercy then help us to seek those things that ever remain. We may have the blessing of them in our souls, the light of them for our lives to live by, we pray thee. Oh, even thyself in our hearts, Lord Jesus, the hope of glory. We do pray thou hast drawn near unto each and reveal that thou art Emmanuel, God with us, that one whose gracious presence is promised to us in our gathering before thee, blessing us in gathering, and each who may join us from home, be in the midst of our hearts and souls, our affections, our desires, Lord, our longings after thee. Shut out the world and the distracting cares that we seek to turn from at this evening time in the week. And may we be only favoured to see thee, Lord Jesus, as one in the midst, we pray. Do fix our eyes and hearts thus, we pray, upon thee. And so those other thoughts and cares removed from us, that they may press upon us in so many things. O Lord, thou canst bring it to pass, and in thy great mercies appear, we do pray thee. And do bring those blessings from thy word into each soul as they hear thy word proclaimed here, we pray thee. Oh, may those truths be made blessings of thee to each one, as thou art pleased to give an application in truth, a power in thy word, in the truths of the hymns, in cries and sighs lifted up to thee. May each prove it to be a house of prayer for all people, that each soul may be blessed with access and liberty in casting all their cares upon thee. And so bring thy reviving work and thy great power to gather in whomsoever thou wilt, to the gathering church here and the gathering congregation likewise. Lord, do build the walls again here, we do beseech of thee, and those spiritual things we do beseech of thee. And shine forth yet, we pray, to bring back wandering ones to be returning ones, and others to be awakened to feel their great need. And he passed by the doors, who know thee not, do touch their hearts yet and their souls, we pray thee. And may there yet be an awakening of thy dead elect, for they know us where each are found. Let us hear those sighs and cries to shine forth in this our day of darkness, we pray thee. Oh, leave not our souls destitute, but grant those answers of peace into our sighs and our cries, for thy work to mightily appear. Give us those searchings of heart where thou hast not answered those cries, and Lord, thou hast said it is not a cause, and we do pray to be humble before thee and to be searched by these things all the more, and unable to confess and acknowledge our sins and our failings, our unworthiness, our idolatry, and our own spirit that so readily goeth astray, the carnal mind that we have that is enmity to thee. Oh, what good thing can be found in us any more, but nothing at all. But oh, we come to bow in humility, We plead, all for thy great name's sake, Lord Jesus. Oh, do thus in thy mercies appear, we pray thee, and oh Lord, shine from above, we pray thee. Heal the breaches in Zion, and grant thy blessings from on high, send forth labourers more to preach the word. Oh Lord, do shine with thy light through thine own word in our midst, we pray. Turn our rulers yet to thee, and those in authority, and our royal household, if it is thy will. But yet may it please thee to touch the hearts of the people, O Lord, in our times that we pass through, that many may be awakened to feel their great need and to know thee, the Lord God of our mercies, whose benefits and blessings we partake of day by day, that they be not ignorant to thee, the only true God, we pray thee. That thy blessing be revealed in our midst yet, we pray, as one gracious and long-suffering, watching over us, helping us, undertaking for us, shining upon us in all of our needs. Oh, how gracious thou art to sustain us yet and to preserve us from what we yet deserve in the ways of thy wrath and anger. Thou knowest thy chastening mercies must surely come because of, O Lord, our sins and our provocations. Deliver us thus, we pray, from that which is further evil and further provoking to thee. And grant there might be a returning unto thee, the Lord God of our fathers. O Lord, thou dost hear those cries and those sighs that ascend to thee from thy little remnant still, we pray. There was really no reviving work and blessing from above. Oh, yet do send out thy light and thy truth, and bless others in their gathering this evening time. May it be a time of thy blessing where thy people are, and thy good hand to be upon them. O Lord, do help thy servants ministering, thy people gathering. And do visit thy little remnant in all the earth where thy people are found. Help thy ministering servants who labour in other lands, we pray, and be with them in that pathway thou hast set them in. And do shine forth where thine afflicted and persecuted people are also, that they may feel that thou art with them and upholding and helping them, we pray thee. O Lord, do shine upon us in our own land to revive thy work amongst us. Deliver us thus, we pray, from all that we are as sinners in thy sight. Oh, bring us to know thee more, we do pray thee, and walk nearer to thee. And be under that call that we have read of in thy word, to be reconciled unto thee, the only true God. Oh, thou hast that only way to bring it together. What is it, enmity? Oh, deal with that all in our hearts, we pray, and all of our needs in these matters, we pray thee. And cause those great mountains to flood out thy presence, if it could please thee. Lord, thou knowest all of our desire before thee. We pray for truly thankful hearts and humility and gratitude for thy great goodness and long-suffering toward us. Lord, do send the showers yet, we pray, to further bring on the harvest crops that thou hast set in the fields. And things are such cold and damp in the earlier season, yet now thou hast brought forth much in the earth by thy great and mighty power. And all glory be unto thy great and holy name. May we see that greater power thou hast to bring sinners to be ready for the spiritual harvest, the last great day. O Lord, do shine forth in our own hearts and be searching us yet in this great matter, we pray thee, that we may be those with evidence that we are born of thee, and that our treasure is above. And thou art setting us in that way of heaven, would we pray thee, that we go on as pilgrims and strangers here in the earth, but longing into that last day to be absent in the body and present with the Lord, as we have read of. Then there's the gracious confidence that is give us the apostle that we have read of. May we be blessed with the light, precious faith to long thy eternal presence, we pray thee. But while time remaineth, then do give us the more grace, the more help to continue, and that patient waiting upon the Lord, we pray thee. O dear Lord, do thus hear us now in our cries, do the poverty of our petitions in that needful abounding of thy grace, and so graciously make up to give who one fails to ask. But do hear each sigh and each cry, and O do say unto our souls, I am thy salvation. O do speak, O Lord, that we might hear, we do beseech of thee. Give us that hearing of faith that we seek to walk by, as those words have reminded us. Oh, do increase our faith, we pray thee. And do reveal thyself as one in the midst, we do beseech of thee. In mercy, thus receive us graciously, we plead all in thy name and for thy sake. Lord Jesus, we ask, amen.
May the Lord help us in further singing hymn number 28 to the tune Jazer 164. Hymn number 28. Blessed Spirit of Truth, Eternal God, Thou meek and lowly Dove, who fills the soul through Jesus' blood with faith and hope and love, who comfortest the heavy heart by sin and sorrow pressed, who to the dead canst life impart and to the weary rest. Hymn number 28 to the tune Jazer 164.
Thank you.
shall be pleased to help me this evening. I seek to direct your prayerful attention to a text you'll find in the reading that we had in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and then reading the last few words of verse 20. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the last few words of verse 20, be ye reconciled to God. I read again then these verses that surround it, and start there with verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We find throughout the Word of God the Spirit showing this great blessing of reconciliation, of the making of peace between the offence of the guilty sinner and our holy God who has created us, in our eternal divine purpose to call forth those whom he has chosen to come under this great blessing. And in this particular verse, he refers to those in their ministry, the apostle himself, as ambassadors for Christ, or being sent on the king's errand to speak the king's word and message, to do the king's will, and to represent the heavenly kingdom. And how we fall short of such an ambassage, or a mission, we might say then. But nevertheless, it's the Spirit that speaketh, and it's his power, as we have sung of it, that is so vital to use this ministry then of reconciliation that our Lord Jesus Christ has shown so clearly, as having given much then in the teachings to the prophets in prophecies, but now himself coming to show that that spoken of is fulfilled. He has come himself and has performed this great wonder of reconciliation that that last verse speaks of, which is our only hope in this exhortation of the Spirit here: be ye reconciled to God, be not left in that enmity that we are born in and under, as those that have not the mind or the will to do what is right, that ever seek to be blessed with the power of his Spirit that brings us near and leaves us not afar off, brings us under the blessing of being near the atoning love of the Lord Jesus, as quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit, and blessed to see and feel the great drawing of the Father's love that has appointed these blessings to be so. It is the only way then to heaven itself, the deliverance from that righteous judgment of Christ, our righteous judge that we have read of in verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the anointed Messiah, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Relating, of course, to what we are found within our lives upon the earth here, as our soul is in our body, and in its dead condition, it only continues as an enemy of God, seeks to overthrow God, becomes a servant of the devil under our birth as fallen sinners by the Adam fall, by in that first sin then of even Adam in listening to the wicked one and falling under God's curse and judgment thereby. And we come with that same spirit is to show that we are not one whit better than any other, in our own nature and even our own desire to know and do our own will and have our own way. But oh, what an almighty power is set before us here then in Almighty God, and a great power in a saving way by the blessing of His love, a love that the Apostle referred to as constraining, Christ's love constraining, or making such a great change in his own life that as he once lived then in enmity to God in ignorance, though with a great name in religion and religious things, and not until the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke was that changed. And that must be so with every one of us tonight. How we need the speaking forth of the Lord Jesus into our hearts also. Not necessarily with the same words that we read of the Apostle Paul, of course, but in that same spirit and power of them. They speak directly and personally to us as guilty and lost sinners. Oh, be ye reconciled to God. So in the exhortation then we might well say, well, what can we do to be reconciled? What is this path that we must walk in? What is it we must learn? And like the perhaps one who comes to the Lord Jesus saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How can it ever be that we can get to heaven in such a hard and difficult way when truth and the standard of it is so far above us? And yet really in those things that man comes saying was to show that there was a need to be in another family, and that the family of God, to come under the inheritance of God, and to be one of the sons and daughters of God. That is how we know a natural inheritance is ours, by the family we belong to and what may be passed down to us after the death of those of our parents or other relatives. And thereby we come under the right of the inheritance. It is not of what we have done or can do. And so really those truths that go before us show us the great blessing in God's giving this blessing freely to his dear people. That it is in our Lord Jesus Christ this blessing of reconciliation, the giving of his dear Son. And right back then in the 9th verse we read there how that the Apostle, having spoken of how he desired to be with the Lord, absent from the body but present with the Lord, and that his walking was by faith and not by sight, or with the eyes of the eternal life in his soul, looking for heavenly things, looking for the revelation of God. And as we read of it in the former chapter, which of course relates so much to this chapter we have read, that we look for things which are not seen. Seen things are temporal, unseen things are eternal. Well, natural things can be seen, but spiritual things are out of sight from the natural eye, but given by God's own blessed revelation. And thereby he speaks, wherefore we labour, that whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And oh, may there be a sweet sense in this word tonight, that the Lord has given it to show that there is an acceptance in Christ. We have it in another one of the epistles, an acceptance in the beloved. Christ is a beloved one. It is upon his merits, upon his sonship, upon his sacred humanity and great Godhead, the trembling child then of God is accepted. Or the merits of the Holy One, that the unholy then are cleansed from their sins, given to be, as we have read in the early verse, a new creature, a new heart, a new spirit, that the prophet Ezekiel spoke of to the people in captivity. A new heart, a new spirit will I give them. Take away the stony heart out of their flesh, or give them a heart that felt their need of the reconciliation of their soul, the peace with God that only by the blood of Christ, Christ's cross, can truly bring to us. And how that is emphasized in that which follows in verse 21, for he hath made him, that this be so. He has appointed then this path for his dear son to walk in this life here, and to be under the punishment of sin, in the place of his dear people. The glorious doctrine then that we speak of substitution, that what we cannot do for ourselves, God then has done for us. And done it lovingly and freely in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in the giving of his dear Son. Oh, how the living soul then, desiring to be found as a new creature, or one then with different desires than it once had, I know is to search our hearts this evening as to whether we have that marked change in our life that God has wrought, that change of our desire, that opening of our ear and eye to read and hear the word of God in a different way than what we once did. That it does not, as it were, pass us by, but it entered in, it had a resting place in us. It truly began to read us, or it was not just a word that was about others, but it was about me, you, I. And all of God's word then is made, it is a personal word to us in that sense as God speaks it. And it is relevant to us to consider, to pray over, to plead before our God to help us in, and to seek this that he speaks of here then through the ministry of reconciliation. In the where before us then this evening we have what we read in verse 18, all things are of God, as we read there that he is a new creature, old things have passed away, all things, behold, they all become new, all new in the risen Christ. So all things are of God, all of God the Father's appointment to give this new birth, and thus to make it known, the surety of it, the certainty of it, and where it is so, it will be a sanctifying effect, a separating effect then unto him all the time, not leaving us to wander from it, to be under its influence, its concern. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. There is the answer then to the exhortation before us, be ye reconciled to God. Oh, do seek to know that our reconciliation then is as this provision is made, as this great fullness of the love of the Father revealed in the sending of his dear Son is revealed in the Spirit then in the teaching of these things, the preaching of these glorious truths of Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen again the third day. We do not seek to add that word as if to say, well, it does not effective just to say, well, we believe in Christ crucified or the doctrine of the cross. That is a great glory and a great sufficiency. But oh, the wonder that he has risen from all that he has sunk under and ever liveth. Were it not so, we would not have this ministry or preaching then of reconciliation. That the law must be spoken of in its righteousness and truth, and God has those holy demands of holiness in the doctrine and teaching of the law that he has given, and we are to come under its condemnation feelingly and to acknowledge our guilt before a holy God in it, but also to see our lost condition, that we cannot fulfill the righteousness demanded. It does not exonerate us from it. We're not to ignore it. Well, our own spirit has its own mind in all of these things, thinking its way around this and that matter, and much of it then relies upon what we would call our ignorance. We cannot contemplate what is asked of us here. It does not mean anything to me. Oh, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So in the truths to be proclaimed, it is founded upon the word of it, or Christ being that word, or God causing his truth to be known by what then he has been given to be spoken already in the prophets, and by the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, his apostles' ministry, and still in that covenant blessing being fulfilled, that God's word must be in the mouth and in the soul, in the spirit, until time shall be no more. And perhaps that word is often overlooked in the end of Isaiah 59, where there's a great promise here that it was to Isaiah. a chapter perhaps it is much remembered because it speaks of that great solemnity then of the Lord's hand not being shortened. But at the end of it he speaks, "This is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, giving this gift of life, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and for ever." That in all generations there must be the preaching of the everlasting gospel. And we tremble. Look at such a word and say, "Well, surely it was with Isaiah, such a great prophet, so endued with the Spirit, then to see the things of the Lord Jesus in his words to be spoken. How can it ever be that we continue in such a example or standard?" But the word of reconciliation that is committed unto us, we might say, in a clearer light, because so much of that which he foretold, though not in his generation and day, has now been fulfilled, and we have the fulfillment of so many of those prophecies and words. And it is all in the Spirit's workings to show this great authority then and certainty of the truth of God in the Word of God. And what a blessing it is for us poor sinners in the ministry to venture upon the Lord's name with such a glorious gospel then that is given us to proclaim. But oh, that the Spirit would use it mightily to bring blessings to longing souls, to bring this great blessing of being reconciled to God, or so seeing that all the needs that we are in as poor and helpless sinners, which truly the Word of God then has given us to point out our faults and our failings, are revealed in the blessings of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus, then set forth of course in that clear way, to wit, that God was in Christ, in every part then of that perfect life of our Lord Jesus Christ, being verily the Son of God upon the earth, though as Isaiah spoke, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, a meek and lowly character, one that was not realised as being the Messiah, and yet proclaimed to be God's blessing in being sent to this earth by those angels that pronounced his birth to the shepherds, and really in declaring that sacred truth, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. It is that our hymn writer uses that truth, God and sinners reconciled. That which is so afar off because of sin and evil, because of the natural spirit, through Christ becoming a man, God then manifest in the flesh, in flesh and blood, being the very Son of God and Son of Man. There should be a bringing together, that he should live this perfect life for us, and he should then die that most solemn death that we deserve to die forever ourselves, or the punishment then of our every sin. And as the Spirit moves in our hearts to show us all the more the greatness then of our sinnership before the Lord, oh, how it will stir up our hearts all the more then to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," under it, and to plead his great love and mercy to be revealed in the forgiveness. This knowledge then that, what you read in those words that follow, "For," what a ground upon this truth then to be reconciled to God. What a word of reconciliation, a ministry of reconciliation then this is to speak of, "For he hath made him to be sin for us." We read it in that verse 19 then, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now this is not as to refer, as it were, to a general salvation, but to show that even in the Lord Jesus Christ then, in all that he is and does in his own people, there is a saving effect of it, in a natural sense that the world is preserved and judgments are not straightway coming against all that is sinful. It's a day of hope, a day of mercy, a day of grace, and in it God is shown to be graciously long-suffering, and his Spirit sent forth to awaken the souls of his dear people to hear the calling of his voice, to seek out God's blessing in these truths, that they might be truths that are reconciling us to God. And in that, of course, it's a bringing together of two parties that are so afar off because of a difference and enmity that has arisen. And in it all, it must be shown in this case how God's holiness remains the same, His standards are not lowered. And it is us who need to be humble under His mighty hand, brought into submission to Him, to acknowledge our own spirit, our own self, that we are not what we were in our first parents, created in holiness. We have light turned from the path of righteousness and truth in our disobeying of the Lord God Almighty. Our own free will spirit then has loved the path of disobedience, of doing evil, thinking and saying it likewise. The natural drawing to it, the devil knows that he tempts us much in evil things. He delights to effort the pride of our hearts to seek to dethrone the Lord in it. We are ignorant of that in our deadness. But oh, what an awakening is here then in the power of Almighty God. And really then he speaks of it here, this greatness of such a love, a compassion, that sees the utter helplessness of the souls of dying sinners, that he must give his spirit to be the great power in this word of reconciliation, this ministry of reconciliation, of which we read the apostle and begin that former chapter, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. As it is of God's mercy, God's unmerited favour in sparing us what we deserve, it is He who alone then gives us the value, that great wonder then of mercy. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for your sakes. And then those wonderful truths that he speaks of. Oh, this ministry of reconciliation, of the word of reconciliation, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, oh, hath shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As much as God said, let there be light, and there was light in creation, he so commands it still in a new birth, the creation of a new heart in the soul, or the giving of eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, a light that begins especially then to expose our darkness, our lost condition. We may feel in our hearts, but surely all the more we read of the word, we see how far off we are from our God. And oh, what a mercy when he uses that word to long us to be near, that he would draw near to us, put out his arm and bring us near, keep us from our wandering. We have this treasure. The heavenly light then is a treasure that shines from heaven in earthen vessels, or in our own self, and we are not fit to retain such blessings that are being shown to us. They are truly lodged in heaven, but sent from heaven to be a great light to us in our hearts and lives. And after we find that there are hidden things still, and we need that fresh light and that renewed blessing to come, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. All of it is under God's authority and power and control. And it is not just left, as it were, to our own feelings, but to the knowledge and power of God working, that will so graciously affect our feelings. And we contend, of course, for a feeling experience of truth, that it is not left to be just a dead letter that we acknowledge in the head, but what we know and feel of in the heart, or where the feelings are found inwardly, things that wound our heart because they point out our sins before a holy God. How base and vile we are in the face of such love, such mercy, that our souls have rejected God and go in the way of evil. And when evil tidings arise, they wound the heart likewise and grieve us, because it surely must grieve the Lord as what takes place. And thereby we are found with what the Spirit then records of the contrite heart and broken, a tender heart before the Lord, and declaring that word that we quoted in Ezekiel 36, a heart of flesh, not a spirit of flesh, not a natural lusting, envying spirit then that it is to be delivered from in this great reconciliation to God, but that softened heart of the Lord, which dear David was brought to see that the sacrifices of God, or the acceptable offerings that God reveals and sees, is the only blessing, is a broken heart, a contrite spirit. He could with all his wealth bring many, many sacrifices, and Nathan of course was sent to speak of a poor man who had no sacrifice but one ewe lamb to keep, and the great rich man taking it away and setting it before his household and using it carelessly, you might say. Oh, David saw there was no sacrifice to that great serenity of his sin then that he committed with Bathsheba, his own heart contriving in it, his own spirit overtaking him. And now what could he do to ask you as God in the great matter? It would only cry out that he was guilty. It was him who was that character, that one that was worthy of death, that he had pronounced. That he had pronounced, as it were, his own condemnation, but it was God's condemnation. Because except it were so, he would not have seen it. He would have continued to cover it up. And we are the same. We continue to cover up what we think no others can know of, but God knows it. So he exhorts us in this word, and to use the words then that the Spirit gave the apostle there, then we are ambassadors for Christ, who has wrought this great way of salvation. It is the fullness of God to give it freely still, as though God the Father did beseech you by us in the ministry of reconciliation, preaching the word of reconciliation. We pray you in Christ's stead, on his behalf, as he is out of sight in heaven, but yet ever living. And in the power of his Spirit, only this can be made a blessing. We pray you in Christ's stead, who truly must pray for us as a great interceding and mediating Saviour. Be ye reconciled to God. You see how the dear apostle then laid these truths before this church that had so many things that needed reconciling, so many things to be done. Oh, it was the dear Saviour himself, the great head of the church, who walks amongst the candlesticks, who himself gives this needful light that is to shine. Oh, that we must be humbled under his mighty hand before the Lord, melted, because chiefly then in this great dying love of the Son, the Saviour, who indeed appoints his ambassadors then to preach the everlasting gospel. We pray you in Christ's stead. Well, we may say, well, we cannot think of anything to say in the place of Christ, but surely he speaks in it to give the word to be spoken. And his Spirit is this glorious power, which really was the great blessing of those apostles that changed their lives so much after they had been scattered upon the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, their Lord and Master. He said they would be, that all men would become offended because of what would take place, that he would be taken by the sinful hands of sinful men and be spitefully entreated, spitted upon, and smitten with many stripes and crucified. But he would rise again that third day. And what a scattering it was, according to that word that he himself had put in the prophets. Awake, O my sword, against my shepherd, and smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Oh, what a scattering of the sheep and the smiting of the shepherd. But no wonder that the shepherd would bear this smiting of eternal wrath, to be made sin for us who knew no sin, the innocent one being under the punishment of sin. Glorious substitution in his doctrine before us then. Be ye reconciled to God. Oh, what wonders then in this way of reconciliation. It's only way. It's one way which is to be ever the great fullness of God's blessing to each of our souls. To ponder all the more this great wonder of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Messiah Himself. The anointed one who the Jew looked upon with a natural eye, and we would think in a natural way likewise that he would surely exonerate them as his people and glorify them on the earth. Who came not then to glory in earthly things, but only heavenly things. And to show that this reconciliation then is of a kingdom then that is not of this world. Or the glories of God's power are truly everywhere, but the kingdom or the dwelling and resting place of his people is eternally in his presence in heaven, and delivering them out of their old nature and selves and from their enemies in this earth, that they would be permitted to be under many assaults and many troubles and many difficulties, many cross providences and perplexing things, all of which he is well able to deliver us from, and to show that this is that great deliverance that is ever to be before us. God's own reconciling work through his dear Son. God imputing the trespasses unto them. Whom dear David viewed then in that truth in Psalm 32. That blessed man to whom the Lord did not impute his trespasses or his sins. They not the blame as they were due to be laid upon the sinner. But laid upon a Saviour. That we might be made the righteousness of God in all. Given then, freely of the gift of eternal righteousness, which the Spirit would so reveal to those dear apostles where they were wrought upon in that day of Pentecost. They were witnesses of the risen Saviour. They were greatly comforted and strengthened by seeing their Lord and Master alive again. Truly an unbelievable truth to them. They could not believe it themselves until it was revealed personally to them, and it would be, and they would hear his voice and know him. They would yet see, as Thomas desired it, those very wounds in hands and feet and side, that he was very that one who bore the death in being made sin for them in the body, but now was alive forever, alive again before them. And as that great day of Pentecost came, then as he promised it, they would wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. So the Spirit then is poured forth to reveal these truths with great power. Oh, that we had glimpses of that great power still. But maybe not grieve the Spirit in thinking about what we ought to think in some of those matters. But see the great need of the inward power in our soul. Oh, what does it do in changing our affections? What we know of this that we read of in that 17th verse, and of being a new creature, one that is born again of God, and now under this blessing of being separated unto God, having those things in their lives that we see are needful to us as they wean us from sin and self in this world and cause us to cleave all the more unto the lovely Jesus, the loving Saviour. That we might be made. And oh, what a making this is then. The righteousness of God in him. He wrought that righteousness in his perfect life. Did not turn from all that was right or true. In every thought and word and deed. And all was done as his own word speaks, in fulfilling all righteousness. And used that, of course, especially when he was come to be baptized of John the Baptist. He felt so unworthy that that should be so. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Oh, well, wondrous that the dear Saviour saw that in his burial, even in baptism, he would rise out of it again and signify what he would do in that greater way, in that much deeper way. And not to be drawn by such a great love of the dear Redeemer, to walk likewise in that same way of being buried in those waters of baptism, to be risen again in the newness of life. to show forth that he who wrought all righteousness in doing so, are we not to be partakers of that righteousness in the loving following of him? Do you not we need this done for us who are so helpless and needy? And as you know it, to really give it to us? Oh, be ye reconciled to God. Do honour him with that love that he has shown you. Do render unto him what he has rendered unto you in his great love and mercy. Show forth that our only profession then is of his righteousness and of his only. What we read in the Psalms, that will go in the strength of the Lord God. Make mention of his righteousness and of his only. We often read the scriptures speak of God's righteousness for his dear people. The prophet Isaiah referred to it in Isaiah 54, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. He giveth it freely as he hath it to give of what his dear son would bring to pass. The dear psalmist prays upon the ground of the Lord being his righteousness, the God of my righteousness, or the God by whom such a righteousness brings him near, his acceptance, as known this great wonder of the reconciliation of the blood of atonement in the sacrifice sin of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is every sin washed away? It cleanseth from all sin, as John writes in his epistle. And as such, dear Peter viewed it as a precious blood of a lamb without blemish, a spotless one, an innocent one, one so lovingly bearing the punishment of the guilty, that the innocent one might receive that punishment freely and the guilty go free, but the guilty might be made to value that blessing. And know how we are to view then ourselves in this great need of be ye reconciled to God under his sanctifying work. Be submissive to what he has to do still, to wean us away still from self and make us more like unto him, that we should be conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, the image of his Son, he being that great forerunner and the first fruits, his people born of him, should be like unto him. And so then, Master's lot, we must expect then tribulation more or less, as the hymn writer speaks in that teaching of John 16, that having hated the Master and the Lord, they will hate the servants and the disciple. And his being bearing the greatest enmity, and those who follow in this desire to know the sweet reconciliation then of the Father and the Son will be brought to bear those things and be a great cost to us, and see what a little cost they are compared to the greatness of his cost in coming to this earth and giving his life and his all. And then how light affliction we have then but for a moment. And really, of course, the apostle goes through many things in that chapter 4 then, that we're troubling but not distress, perplexing but not in despair, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in us. This tribulation then, he would faint not, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. God's reconciling his people then is to sanctify them, that the inward man be renewed. Things done inwardly still, how we need the evidence of it. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Life is brief, time is short. Though so sore those afflictions are, and great we may feel them to be, and yet the apostle knew many stripes, the shipwreck, and all manner of troubles, looked upon it yet as a light affliction, and was in such then when he viewed it in the light of heavenly glory, which worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And of course, in a light verse in, I believe, Romans 8:8, he speaks that we'll not be compared to that glory that shall be revealed. It's followed up then by the glories of the reconciling God, the glories of the dear Redeemer himself, who has appointed this reconciliation, He gives the exhortation that we are to long for it, to pray for it, to ask Him to give it freely, because indeed He will reveal it all the more. So He'll show that what is in His mind and in His will is that bringing together as one, the healing of the broken heart, the binding up of the wounded spirit. You show that great wonder that we read of in chapter 5 of the Romans, in which of course there are many blessings referred to of God's great love in saving sinners in their sins. And one of those truths it reveals, it speaks likewise of this truth before us in reconciliation, that if it were so then in the death of Christ, and much more so than in the life of the dear Saviour. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Oh, the sweet assurance of this blessing revealed again. We know the wonder of it, that we indeed need this revealed truth of the atonement, the death of Christ on our behalf. But oh, much more than being saved from any despair, but pleading the blessing of that atonement, be saved by His life. Plead the word that He has declared to His disciples, that because I live, ye shall live also. Lord, Thou saidst, oh, I feel the deadness, I feel afar off, this cannot be so. The enemy is so strong and I am so weak. But Thou saidst, but because I live, ye shall live. Surely Thou art in heaven alive, and one that reigneth gloriously. And oh, that He might send His Spirit to endue us with that power of His life, and make the word and the ministry of reconciliation that word of life to our soul. Oh, how solemn it would be if it were not so. We covet the blessing of it in the feeling sense. But oh, the divine certainty of it, as the Scripture is emphasizing it again and again. And oh, that we were given more of the heart then to receive it, to long after it, to hunger the more and thirst the more for this, the living stream of the living God that flows through Jesus' precious blood. May the Lord help us this evening and give us that grace to hear what He speaks in this word, and will yet speak from it as we need it in all the pathway. May the Lord bless the word. Amen.
May the Lord help us to conclude by singing hymn number 1103 to the tune Redeeming Love, 724. Hymn number 1103. O Thou that hearest the prayer of faith, wilt Thou not save a soul from death that casts itself on Thee? I have no refuge of my own, but fly to what the Lord has done and suffered once for me. Hymn number 1103 to the tune Redeeming Love, 724.
thou most merciful and gracious Lord, do pardon and forgive all thou dost see amiss in our worship this evening. Do own and bless thine own word, we pray, and grant that living desire of the hymn. Oh, do watch over us now as we separate one from another. Keep us safely in our journeys, that we may be the longer or shorter. Bless those at home in disconnecting from the service also, and bless us each for that good night's rest in due time, if it could please thee. But do guide us each, we pray, by thy counsel, and afterward receive us into thy glory. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, abide with us forever. Amen.